Sefer Melachim begins, Melachim Aleph, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Keep in mind that the division between Melachim Aleph and Beis is a much later phenomenon. Originally, it was all one klaf, one Sefer Melachim, from beginning to end, starting with David and Shlomo HaMelech and going all the way till King Tzidkiyahu at the very end of the Temple period. But the printing press limitations being what they were, and the church's divisions of the quote-unquote Old Testament being what it was, they eventually found it more convenient to divide Sefer Melachim in two. And so even in Jewish editions, we still have Melachim Aleph and Melachim Beis today. And we begin with a Vav, with a connecting Vav, and, which always means that it connects with that which came beforehand. So V'hamelech David Zaken, which is interesting, because we saw at the end of Sefer Shmuel that David was still making decisions and still acting as king. And yet, we begin here, and King David was old. Ba bayomim, and advanced in years. Now, 70 doesn't necessarily seem that old. In my early 50s, it seems less old than it used to seem. It certainly felt old back in the old days. But compared to others who were zakenu ba bayomim, he was not so old after all. The other two figures who are mentioned as Zaken Baba Yomim are Avraham Avinu, who was nearing in his triple digits, in his hundreds already, and who passed away at 180, and Yehoshua, who passed away at 110, but that because of his own failings as a leader, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him 10 years early. But nevertheless, each one of them had at least 40 years and maybe as many as 110 years on David HaMelech. But David aged quicker. He had been through many trials and tribulations. He had been through the horrors of war and the privations and tribulations of being on the run for much of his life, living in the saddle and dealing with rebellions from without and within, from within his own family and family tragedies, Amnon and Tamar, Avshalom. So he had aged, and he was especially old now. The Mefarshim say that he had withdrawn quite a bit, the Malbim says, from active rule over the Jewish people. So his being old and advanced in years also implied that he was disconnected, somewhat out of touch with the people, as sometimes older shut-ins can be. And so he is elderly, vayichasuhu babigodim, and they covered him with garments, with clothes, with blankets, v'lo yichamlo, but he was not warmed. He could not get warm. This kind of hypothermia is standard for many elderly people. The cold seeps into your bones and you can't get warm. Ronald Reagan, in his time in office, he at that time was the oldest president we had ever had, once famously asked for his electric blanket to be brought from his ranch in California because he just couldn't get warm in the White House. But in David's case, of course, there are spiritual connections to what was happening to David. So Rashi brings down right away the very famous begadim, kol hamevaze begadim, and the very famous Gemara, I'm sorry, from Brachos, kol hamevaze begadim, eino nene mehim lasof. Anybody who disrespects even inanimate objects, even clothing, will not be able to get hanav from them later on in life. Levisha kara es kanaf hameil l'shaul. When he had Shaul in his power, he did not harm Shaul physically, but he cut a corner off his beged, but then regretted it almost immediately afterwards. Why did he regret it? Because tzaddikim understand that even inanimate objects of no consequence have consequence. And how you respect your possessions, like Yaakov Avinu crossing back over the river to get the Pachim Kitanim when he was running away from Esav, these are important life lessons from the lives of the great people of Klal Yisrael. And so his lack of respect, quote-unquote, for Shaul's beged meant that eventually his begadim would rebel against him as well. Rabbi Beryl Wein likes to talk about when he was a high school and yeshiva principal about what he saw kids doing with their coats. You know, you come running in the winter and then you kind of chuck your coat at the coat rack and you drop it on the floor and it gets stepped on all over the place. And if you want to see a bizui begadim, go to the coat room in any yeshiva or shul, and you'll see that we have a ways to go ourselves to have respect for clothing. Now, that's one reason. The other reason, also brought down by Rashi and many of the other Mefarshim, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says it in the Medrash, Rav Sadia Gaon quotes it, is that Kesherah David es HaMalach Omei B'Yerushalayim V'Charbo B'Yado. When the Malach appeared to David with the plague, when David had ordered the census at the end of Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, so that was literally a chilling vision. It's Tanin Domo Miroso. His blood froze within him, and he was never warm again. A vision of a Malach that is going to bring a plague to 70,000 Jewish people was enough to chill David. And so he could not get past that chill. And the answer that his Na'arim are going to come up with is, shall we say, a little esoteric, a little unexpected. So Beis Vayomru Lo Avadav, so his servant said to him, Yivakshu Ladoni HaMelech Na Rabbesula, let us seek out, or let it be sought for the king, a young girl, a virgin girl, untouched. Ve'amda Lifnei HaMelech Usihi Lo Sochenes. And she will stand before the king and be a helper, be an aid for him. B'shachva b'chekecha. And she will lie in his lap. She will lie in his embrace. V'cham ladoni hamelech. And she will warm our master the king. So this is already kind of a strange concept. So why is it that a young person is going to somehow warm the king? So young blood runs hot. Excuse me. The king runs cold. And something, according to the Gemara, according to the Mefarshim, about the fact that she was still a besula, still a virgin girl, lent greater heat somehow to the body. Now, this is not being done in a prurient way. This is not, you know, chas v'shalom, some kind of perverted concept about just bringing a young girl to lie around on the king. Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles that Shnayim Yechamu, two can warm each other. Body heat is the greatest source of heat, much greater than any kind of garment or blanket or inanimate object. There's a certain heat to the life force. That's Mechamemes. And Ubokea Eitzim Yisachen Bam. If you chop wood, you can be warmed by the wood that you chop, but you're also being warmed through the physical exertion of doing that. So, in this case, Avishag is brought because her family is going to be set for life. She's going to be not a courtesan, not like the king's plaything, but a courtier, like a member of the court, to provide a service for the king without the king doing any, shall we say, Andrew Cuomo with her. There will be no groping. There will be no untoward actions from the king. As we see, sorry we're going a little long today, but we really need to put these psukim together. Pasuk Gimel, Vayivakshu Na'ara Yafa B'chol Gvul Yisrael. And they sent throughout all the boundaries of Klal Yisrael every beautiful girl. Apparently, physical beauty is a reflection somehow of the heat that the body is bearing in this case. And again, I don't pretend to understand the physics of how this works, but the idea somehow was that this would add to the warmth that the king got from another person. Or Rav Sadia Gaon kind of insinuates that because the vision of the Malach was what was freezing him, it was a cause that was not directly physical. And so this would quite literally take the king's mind off of the chilling supernatural thing that he had seen, just having another literally warm body next to him. And every household sent their daughters in the hope that she would be chosen. Unlike Ahasuerus, this is a very different situation. He is not offering to make her another queen. We know David was very careful about not exceeding the maximum that a king would be allowed to marry. He also was not bringing her for the purpose of showing her off to anybody. In fact, it would be a very private thing. Other people wouldn't be coming into the room. Even his wives wouldn't be coming. Why aren't his wives enough? Because they're not besulos, so they're apparently not going to warm him the same way. So vayimtzu es Avishag ha-Shunamis. And so they found Avishag the Shunamis. Avishag from Shunem. We'll have a woman from Shunem later in the Sefer. Vayaviu osa lamelech, and they brought her to the king. Dalet v'anara yofa ad ma'od, and she was very beautiful, which meant that she was very warm, which was the quality he was looking for. Vatehi lamelech sochenes v'tesharisehu, and she was an aid, a servant to the king. The hamelech lo yida'ah, and that's why we had to go a little over time and get to this. But the king did not know her in the biblical sense. He would not marry her. He did not use her in any way for lusts or anything of that purpose. Not only that, but he resisted temptation the time that she was with him. And again, this is something that ordinary people find difficult to be masig, that he could be with a young woman alone in a throne room and not do the things Andrew Cuomo, Lahavdil, is being accused of doing. It's unthinkable. How could he be, you know, Bill Clinton and Andrew Cuomo? The answer is, of course, he's not. He's David HaMelech, and he's beyond that. And his resistance of temptation, like Palti Ben Laish, when he was married to Michal for 7 years and never touched her and wept when that test was removed, the weakness had been removed, the weakness of the flesh from David. And he was not thinking in those terms. He was simply, with his age and weakness, trying somehow to hold on. And so, you know, people who work in nursing homes, it's not that kind of situation where it's that kind of relationship between the women who are I don't want to say serving, but who are attending these elderly people who are desperate for some kind of warmth in their lives. Nowadays, we say it's interpersonal warmth, it's companionship. For David, apparently there was something to this. And again, it's very difficult to understand if we look to the lowest common denominator. But if we think of him as David HaMelech, and we think of her as being a selfless individual who was willing to give her life over, because once she's with a king, it's going to be very difficult. She's not going to be able to marry somebody else. Then it is going to be important. Important enough that it makes it into Sefer Melachim.